Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday evening, everybody. It's time for another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and this is episode number 182. 182 of these things. How about that? And with me, as usual, back there in the corner is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How you doing tonight, Stephen?
A little bit warmer after it being so cold down here. They basically shut down the state of Alabama. They freaked out down here. But we're pushing 60 degrees. Everything's warming up again. And the bald eagle nest that's right here near my house has a baby bald eagle chick in it now that just hatched this week. So, hey, if that's not a harbinger of spring, I don't know what is.
Yeah, we've come out of the deep freeze. We were below zero for a week or so there, and hanging around 10 degrees weeks before that. But we were up to 35 today. Had some rain. The snow's starting to melt. So we're looking at some 40s and possibly even 50 this coming week. So or through the weekend. So hey, I'm not going to complain. I'm looking forward to spring. I'm tired of winter.
Yeah. So we kind of get into books here at Fresh Ink Group, which is the sponsor of Voice of Indie, and we've got some books out. We've got Ran by Robert G. Willis Croft, which is the new Orc Chronicle series, in the new Orc Chronicle book in this series. It's number 3, and we're getting ready to put out Keyed, A Lost Civilization, which will be the 4th Orc Chronicle sometime in the next week or two also. So it's time to catch up on your Orc Chronicles, people, by Robert G. Willis Croft. Get out there and check it out. You can order Ran now, and then Keyed sometime in the next week or two should be available. We'll keep you informed. It'll be in the newsletter. We'll talk about it on the podcast. We'll even walk down the street where the bald eagles are nesting and tell them about it, too. We've also got an upcoming Willis Croft appearance, or no, this was just this past weekend. So we got to talk to Robert about that and see how that went for him. What else is going on, Beam?
Well, speaking of Robert G. Willis Croft, his Reality Hack, is this a short story?
Yes.
This hit number one on Amazon's bestseller in one of the new release categories. So congratulations to Robert G. Willis Croft on that. And Gwendolyn M. Plano, her The Soul Whisperer's Decision, hit number one in Amazon's categories. I believe it's spiritual inspiration or inspirational stories. It's her latest novel, and that hit number one. So congratulations to Gwen M. Plano on that as well.
Yeah, it makes me kind of curious to see if maybe she might hit number one on our list, but we'll get to that list in a minute.
Big number ones. That's cool. We're celebrating here. We're celebrating this all around the offices of Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, a lot of you people haven't celebrated a number one like that since you potty trained your kids. But all right, let's go here. We've got Submariner has been doing very well, too. That's retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate's memoir, 60 chapters of life above and below the sea and all kinds of cool stuff. He's gotten up into the teens on the bestseller list after more than a year out at Amazon.
Wow.
In fact, the day that I looked the other day, he was at number 13. And that's pretty good for a book that's been out for well over a year. So congratulations, Jerry.
Yeah. All right. Listeners, we would appreciate if you guys call in tonight with questions or comments for tonight's guest. And here's how you can participate.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah. So we've signed a couple of new authors in the past few days or so. One is Angie Birmingham. She's very well known around the world as a wildlife photographer. She's stationed down in South Texas. But she, like I said, she travels the world with her husband, Jeff. And Jeff has a tendency to favor shooting big game in his wildlife photography. Angie, pretty much everything else, but she's really into birds. So wildlife photography with an emphasis on birds. But she's put together a book on how to do this, how to be a wildlife photographer, everything from cameras and equipment to settings to composing your shots to finding those shots and whatnot. So we're working on putting that together. That's pretty cool too. We've also got Anna Morgan's got a, she's in the UK and she's got a 3-novel series starting with The Nurses that we're trying to get put out here in the next couple of weeks as well. So a couple of new authors. Seems like every time we think we're going to get a break, it doesn't happen. But congratulations on joining Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah. And Jan Sykes, best-selling author Jan Sykes, she's got a brand new novel coming out in March. This is coming out through Fresh Ink Group. It's called A Beggar's Bargain. And the pre-sale will likely be sooner, so keep your eyes and ears open for that one. And you'll hear all about it on this show and in our newsletter. What's that? You're not subscribed to our newsletter?
What?
Well, let me show you how you can be subscribed to our newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. Now, Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms. That is out now. It is available. So get over to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you buy your books and grab a copy of that. And we do have a new book trailer for that over on the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. So get over there, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and make us happy.
Yeah. We actually picked up some more YouTube subscribers this week, and my back was hurting, but I still got up and danced that jig. So people, put me in pain. Put me in pain. All right. So let's see what's happening with the print bestsellers at Fresh Ink Group. Our top 25 print bestsellers this week, starting at number 25, is by Vladimir Kolexty. She's a relationship therapist in Manhattan, and her book, Naked and Transparent, 6 Vital Tools for Knowing Yourself and Attracting Healthy Relationships, is coming in at number 25. Above that, we've got 8 Hateful Miles, A Sideline Pass to Tennessee's Fiercest Rivalry. That's a pretty cool book, Beam.
That's, yes, it is.
Two high school teams in the southern southeast corner of Tennessee that glare at each other across the county line, and between the two of them, they tend to produce state champions in their football teams every year, and it's just been a long, fierce rivalry. And sports writer Stephen Hargis put together the whole story, lots of color pictures, behind-the-scenes interviews. It's pretty cool. And that's been, 4 years that's been out now? And it's still making our bestseller list. Who'd have thought a little book about a couple of high school teams would have that much appeal? But what do we know here at Fresh Ink Group? We just publish them. The next one, The Trial of William Shakespeare, a dramatization of the authorship controversy in which the audience renders a verdict. And this is by J. Ash Looney. That's been getting a lot of action lately because he went to a Renaissance fair a couple of months ago and showed the book around and talked about it a little bit, and we've been getting steady orders for it since. So congratulations, J. Ash Looney. Now, the next two slots are the same book, and I always get a kick out of this because we published this book in 2016 thinking that we'd sell a couple of dozen copies at best, but it's still 8 years later, making our bestseller list almost every week, and that's The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction. I know it makes me laugh, too, because it's just a cool book, and like I say, it's a story of a company, construction company out of Fayetteville, Tennessee, and I figured, okay, we'll sell some copies around Fayetteville, but 8 years later, this thing is still going strong, and I'm looking at both the paperback and the hardcover on our bestseller list this week. So even the hardcover out there.
There was an interesting story that he told there. So, you know, it goes beyond just construction.
Oh, yeah, way beyond. Yeah, the company plane crashed right here in the lake that I live on and killed all the executives. And there's a bid rigging scandal and people went to prison. And, oh, it's a little more exciting than everyday construction.
Make a heck of a movie.
Now, we've got two books in a row here by the same person about the same subject, but using two different bylines. We have When Angels Fly by S. Jackson. And that's really Mary Schmidt, who's one of our authors. But she used S. Jackson for this particular book because it's the story about her five-year-old son battling and losing the battle to pediatric brain cancer. And his mother, the author of the book, has some real strong opinions about the quality of the medical care he received and some possible mistakes made by people. So she wrote a rather scathing book about it and named names and hurled accusations and still dug very deeply into the poignant aspects of that story as well. So she used a different name on that one since she was calling people out. But then later she put out another book that's the same story, but it's told from the point of view of her five-year-old son, Sammy. And it's called Sammy, Hero at Age 5. And it's basically just from the point of view of a kid who learns that he's sick and something's not right and that he's going to have to do some suffering trying to get better and learn how to deal with just a whole lot of things. So these are heartbreaking but reaffirming stories. And congratulations, Mary. She must have been doing some more publicity lately because both versions of that book are now on our bestseller list. Above that, the hardcover of Larry Landgraf's The Adventures of Ollie Orangutan. That feller, they captured an orangutan. This is fiction. It's an illustrated chapter book. They captured an orangutan and were shipping him to a zoo, but Ollie got away. And you know he had some fun adventures.
Ollie, oxen fray.
I'm telling you. Now, Robert McKenzie is the author of the next two books on the list. He is the author of the Chair series. We have four books in that series out now. We're working on the fifth one. And the fifth one's supposed to be the last one, but we all know Robert, and we don't think that's really how it's going to work out. But right now, The Chair, Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, and then above that, The Chair, Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, are both on our bestseller list. So I got a feeling we're going to see some more chairs as I work my way up here. We'll see.
Yeah, next that's kind of like the Star Wars books, you know. We'll be doing like the chair in the future, and the chair will battle the Death Star and all that kind of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Another illustrated chapter book for children, this one by B.A. Johnson, Sassy Discovers the AME Church. It's a story about a little girl who attends the AME Church and decides she wants to learn the story behind her church. And back to back, we've got that book twice, hardcover and paperback editions are both selling well. Above that, Kanoi K, again, My Three Wishes, memoir of a Hawaiian dancer whose family troupe traveled the world. There's a lot of fun stories and some cool pictures in that. Now, college football time. Celebrate 98, the untold stories behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship, and that's by Off the Hook Sports writer Dave Hooker. It's all about the Tennessee Vols. So if you're a Tennessee Vols fan, you've got to have this book on your shelf. Or if you're just into college football or just like to read the stories, it's all in there. Above that, a person who just tried to call me on the phone seconds ago, I had to text her back and say, we're doing the podcast now. This is Abigail Miriam Hamilton Huguenie's There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation. And that's the hardcover edition. So that tends to sell well in hardcover as a keepsake edition. Dr. Helen Burrell's paperback, American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. And then above that, you heard me touting Robert Willis Croft's Sport Chronicle books. Here's number 3, Ran, A Civilization in Hiding, the third Ort Chronicle. That follows Icicle and the Ort Federation. Number 3, Ran, A Civilization in Hiding. And we're going to see if we've got a number 4 up here. Nope, it's not on the list yet. It's still working its way up into the top 25. But we've got another Robert G. Willis Croft above that one. Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission, the paperback edition. That's the first of 4 Mac McDowell Mission. These are Cold War submarine thrillers, and he's working on number 5 right now. Now, we're getting up into the upper echelon here. We've got the paperback edition of The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon, who played with the supergroup Alabama for nearly 3 decades. And his memoir, paperback edition, is coming in here at 7. And the hardcover edition is number 5. So that's our top 5 High Road Memories from a Long Trip. Now, in between those, at number six, Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms. That's the new release. That's still in presale, right, Beam?
I believe it is.
Yeah. It used to be a time I could keep track of all of our dates, but we're putting out so many books lately.
Yeah.
Gee, Beam, is that one of our books? I don't know.
We haven't gotten that bad yet, but.
No, but we're working on it. So that brings us to our top four. Now, here's one that's been riding the number one slot for a while. I Won't Be Your Escape Goat. David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders is coming in at number four. That's the paperback edition. So that gets us to the top three. Boy, I'm curious. A.K. Wingler, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida is here at number three again. And I'm looking at the numbers. She's moving some copies of this book. She's also got How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee. And she's also got it for Georgia. So there's three books out there specific to three states. Even if you're in another state or another part of the world, all the information in here on how to run them, how to set them up, how to do your floor plan, all that kind of stuff is here. But if you're in a specific state, she's also got the exact forms and where to file them and whatnot in order to get your permits and everything in those states. So congratulations, A.K. Wingler. Your Florida food truck book is at number three. So top two, in the number two slot, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. That's the paperback edition. That's coming in at number two. That makes me wonder, who's at number one? Who passed Submariner this week? And that's Gwen M. Plano, The Soul Whisperer's Decision, her new novel that just came out. It's actually just been released a few days ago. About four days ago. The Soul Whisperer's Decision has skyrocketed to number one on our list. And if you were paying attention earlier, Beam told you it also skyrocketed at Amazon to a number one Amazon bestseller. That's
Yay,
The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano, who also has a new book out that we just published in the past month or so called The Gift. And that's part of the Harbor Point series as well. So if you're not hip to Gwen M. Plano, it's time, people. Get out there and check it out. And for all of you who made our top 25, congratulations. We are proud of every one of you. We get a little silly and giddy when we see some of these old books coming back with some new life. So people, if you've got books out there, don't let them wallow. Keep them alive. Keep talking about them. Keep that publicity going. Sometimes they'll catch fire again, even years later.
All right. Listeners, there's some Wednesday nights that you're just not able to tune in because you're busy doing something important. So we've got an archive of every episode we've ever done, and there's 182 of these things. So here's how you can find those archived episodes.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word. Discover interstellar drama with Robert G. Willis Croft's science fiction series, The Oort Chronicles. In the first chronicle, Icicle, a tensor matrix, Braxton Thorpe has discovered a threat to the entire solar system, but he has a problem. He's dead. Frozen at death, he awakens to find himself uploaded into an electronic matrix. Exploring the larger global net, he discovers the Oort, a distributed electronic entity older than humanity, with an unnerving secret. Aliens wiped out nearly all life on Earth once and are coming back to do it again. The mathematical entity that is Thorpe has to find a way to convince humans of the threat, and in time to do something about it. But how? And what? In the second Oort Chronicle, The Oort Federation to the Stars, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidore Orlov and his Udachni Enterprises oppose their every move. Phoenix terraforms Mars for more living space, but the Mars Reds prove formidable resistors. In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri
and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? In the third Urd Chronicle, Ran, a civilization in hiding. Humans commence a voyage of discovery to the cold spot in the cosmic microwave background. Their first stop is the planet Arcan, orbiting Ran in the constellation Eridanus, where they discover an incipient spacefaring Saurian civilization that has hidden itself from the rest of the galaxy. Arcan has three ruling nations, a fascist dictatorship, a primitive theocracy, and a free market republic. The humans are drawn into a rebellion to overthrow the fascist tyrant and then help thwart the theocratic prophet's ambitions to subjugate Arcan. Told entirely from the Arcan perspective, Ran centers on the human aliens' desire to integrate Arcans into their growing Urd Federation. In the fourth Urd Chronicle, Cade, a lost civilization. Starship Andromeda stops at the Cade Triple Star System on its voyage of discovery and stumbles on a derelict Dyson sphere. The starship is attacked by microbots, scavenging one part of the sphere to repair another. They map the sphere and discover several primitive races inside, humanoid, feline, and Saurian. The explorers discover that the Dyson sphere's star is about to produce a super flare that could destroy all life and even the sphere itself. The explorers mount a major rescue effort to save the uploads and sapient races. Robert G. Williscroft's series, The Urd Chronicles, is available in jacketed hardcovers, softcovers, and all ebook formats, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Robert G. Williscroft's The Urd Chronicles.
All right. Just about the time he puts out the 70th Urd Chronicle, that's going to be a long commercial.
That is by far, I think, the longest one we've got.
Yeah. That was the world premiere, by the way. That's a new commercial.
Yes,
we haven't even finished the video yet because we just got approval for the fourth Urd Chronicles cover last couple of days or so, and we wanted to show that in the commercial too. So by this time next week, hopefully we'll have a commercial on YouTube for that as well. So check those out, the Urd Chronicles series by Robert G. Wilscroft.
Yeah.
All right, let's meet tonight's guest. The Word 66 is an up-and-coming three-piece rock band from Las Vegas, which saw its conception back in 2018 by guitarist Steve Scott. For many years, founding member Steve Scott had lost his way from the church and his love for playing music until God brought him back at this moment in time to fulfill a purpose. The Word 66 was formed with the purpose of spreading the word through a medium the band loves most, rock music. I've heard of that rock music. It's starting to catch on, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Word 66 is a trio of musicians comprised of vocalist bassist Brian Torres, guitarist Steve Scott, and drummer Dave Murray. The group takes the idea for their band's moniker from the Bible, or The Word, which is made up of 66 different individual books. Ever since their conception, The Word 66 has hit the ground running by making their recordings available globally. The band is currently charting all over the world and have reached the number one spot on Spiderweb Radio. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Welcome, Steve.
Hey, thanks for having me, Beam and Steve. Pleasure, man.
Well, how about we start with you're in Vegas now, but where are you originally from, and where have you lived on your trip to back to over to Vegas?
Oh wow! So I'm originally from New York. I am a Long Islander.
Long Island,
yeah. I've had several stops in between. Actually, before I moved to Vegas, I actually lived in Seattle for a few years.
Okay. Seattle.
Yeah. And I had to get away from the gloom and doom of every single day. So it was really nice to find sunshine again.
Yeah, it is a bit rainy up there, eh?
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, Steve, when did you get into music? I mean, were you one of those child prodigy types, or did you get interested in music later on in life? Or you know, what's your musical journey from the time you were young?
I think as long as I can remember, I've always been a huge fan of music. You know, I remember as a little kid, always, you know, holding that make-believe microphone and singing songs and doing stuff in my room. definitely a weird little kid. Not that I'm not a weird adult, but was always really into music. And I would say that my first instrument when I started really playing music was probably at about 12, 13, somewhere around there.
And did you start with guitar?
No. Actually, I started with the trumpet. And I had two older brothers. And one of them played the trumpet and the other one played the clarinet. And my parents did not have a whole lot of money, so basically they said, okay, what do you want to play, the clarinet or the trumpet?
Yeah.
So I thought the trumpet was a little cooler, so I went with the trumpet, and I was terrible, to be honest with you.
Wow. So when did you switch to the guitar?
Probably around 15, I picked up the guitar. I saved up a whole bunch of like birthday money and Christmas money, and I was able to buy myself a guitar and an amp. And, you know, my first guitar was actually a Gibson SG Deluxe, which was...
Really?
I know, which is a great guitar, and I kicked myself in the butt so many times for not holding on to that guitar. Because
wow.
I thought that, you know, yeah, no, I thought I got it so cheap too. I think I paid like $150 or something.
Man.
Like that for it, if I remember correctly. I didn't really take any lessons. I took a few to start out with, and I really just thought that I was never really going to pick it up. And so I sold the guitar and got rid of it and got rid of the amp. And shortly after, I knew I made a mistake and then replaced it. But yeah, I wish I would have kept that guitar.
What guitar do you play now?
I'm an Ibanez kind of guy.
That's what I've got. I've got a little Ibanez here.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a vibrato bar kind of guy too. So they make fantastic guitars with great vibratos in it, and that's kind of what I've gravitated towards.
Cool. Yeah. So what was the amp that you had, the original amp?
Oh man, I don't even remember.
Don't even remember? Okay.
No,
that was
I don't
gonna,
remember.
Before you even mentioned that you got an SG, I was going to ask you what was your first guitar. That's just one of those things that I'm always curious about. But yeah. All right. So
you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I wound up eventually picking up a Crate amp. Do you remember those?
I remember Crate.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
a G10, a little 10-watt G10 Crate amp back in the 80s. Those things were durable.
You know, it's indeed, because I still use it. It still works. I mean, it's a little funky sometimes. I mean, sometimes it goes really low or it goes super loud and scares my dogs. Because my dogs usually hang out when I'm playing. They're my audience a lot of times. And sometimes it'll just all of a sudden, it'll just like double in volume and they'll go running. But it's I think, you know, you talk about how they don't make things like they used to, you know. Nowadays, you buy something, who knows, I mean, how long it's going to last, but I mean, this is
yeah.
how many years now that I'm still using it.
Yeah, those Crate amps, the one I had a great built-in overdrive. I mean, you didn't even need a distortion pedal. It just had that thick, rich tone to it with that overdrive.
Yes, yes.
So it sounds like yours needs a new volume knob or something.
Could be, but, you know, I wonder if they even make parts for that anymore.
I bet you could find somebody who would be able to take care of that. So education, Steve, what does your education look like? Did you go to graduate high school? Did you go to college? And if so, what were the things that you studied when you were there?
I would have to say that I am a high school graduate. That's about as far as I go. I took a couple of baking classes and stuff like that. Does that count?
Baking, huh? Yeah, baking. All right. Everybody has to eat.
And as a matter of fact, too, since you guys are talking about books and stuff, actually, I used to do some writing. I actually wrote a screenplay once upon a time. And I used to actually write for some music magazines.
Which magazines? Any of the national ones?
One of them was, I think it was called Strictly Jazz.
Okay.
And then I wrote a lot for, oh man, you're making me think here. I didn't know that when I was coming on here, I was going to have to think.
All right. Well,
you guys should have warned me.
We're going to take a commercial break here. You can think while we're doing the commercial break. We are talking live with Steve Scott from the band The Word 66. If you want to call in, if you got musical questions or writing questions or whatever, or just have comments, the number is 516-453-9902, and we will be right back.
In the Pruitt-Igoe slums of St. Louis in the 1960s, a heroin addict mother breaks her son's dolls and screams, "You are not a girl." However, no one can convince Stephanie to live as Stephen. Her mother pimps her out to a man who rapes and takes pictures of her. After finding her mother brutally murdered, she is placed in Christian foster care, where they also try to convince her to accept being male. Her mother's lover is sentenced to life in prison for the murder. Author of widely praised The Calling Dream, Carlisle Toms brings back famed televangelist Pastor Ronald Dennison in this unflinching sequel, Edge of Smoke. Dennison sets up a trust that allows a compassionate old neighbor to adopt Stephanie out of foster care. Still, she is violently bullied at school for identifying as female. The trust pays for transition surgery at 18, and she begins to live fully as a woman. Frightened by men, she remains a virgin until she falls in love with Jordan. But she runs into the man who abused her and remembers her childhood pledge to kill him. Will her lust for murdering the man who brutalized her as a child cause her to lose the man she loves? Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, The Calling Dream, and now, Edge of Smoke, can be found anywhere and shipped everywhere in jacketed hardcover and softcover editions, or downloaded in all ebook formats. Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms.
All right, it's world premiere time again. That's that book is just out now, and the video for it, the book trailer commercial, brand new. It's over on YouTube. Go to the Fresh Ink Group channel and check it out. That's Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms. Also talks about, that's a sequel to the book The Calling Dream. So the video talks about both of those books. And, hey, here's a novel idea. Subscribe to the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube while you're over there. Make us get up and dance.
We have to thank Guido to make sure you do.
Yeah.
You don't want a visit from Guido, huh?
Yeah. So we're talking to Steve Scott of the Christian rock group, The Word 66. And normally, Steve, this is about the time we ask a guest about family. And I've got on my notes here that your family sucked. So tell us about your sucky family.
All right. Well, how much time do we have here? I think I'm gonna lay down on the couch for a couple minutes here, if you don't mind.
Beam, load up the sucking sound effect.
Okay.
I don't come from a close family, let's put it that way. I didn't have the greatest mom and dad, unfortunately, and I have a couple of older brothers that, as growing up, I guess I was a punching bag, I suppose. They kind of mistook me for a punching bag. I guess, I don't know. I was thin, but I don't know if I was that thin. But yeah, it wasn't a great childhood by any means, and not a close family. We didn't have a lot of siblings either, you know, as far as like cousins and aunts and all that kind of stuff too. So yeah, it wasn't. I don't really have a lot of great stuff to say, really.
Hmm. Well, what about your family now? Are you married? You have kids of your own?
I am divorced at this time. I have no kids, and I've got three dogs, are my kids.
I'm right. What kind of dogs?
I've got a Doberman, a pit boxer mix, and a Shepherd.
All right. I grew up with Dobermans. My dad was a huge Doberman fan, so we always had a Doberman.
Doberman
and a collie.
Are great dogs.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, she's a red one, too.
Wow, we had one of those. Now, I understand you're a business owner. You got a day job there. So what's this all about?
Believe it or not, music doesn't support anybody anymore.
Did it ever?
All of us musicians have actual day jobs and real jobs. So I actually own a special events entertainment company. So I live here in Vegas, and it's the perfect place for me to be because everybody comes out here for special events. So when I say special events, we do conventions, and we do birthday parties, and we do weddings. And I think this is probably maybe the state where people come to get married. So we do a lot of weddings. Yeah, so we do a lot of weddings and stuff, too. So, again, we do special events, and I've been very blessed as far as that goes because I started the company when I first got out here. It's still going strong now. So after 24 years, still doing pretty well, and I still love what I do. It's a lot of fun. And I'm very also happy and blessed to say that I work very few hours and I make really good money.
Now, your company's an awards winner. So how many awards has this company brought you?
We recently won our 22nd award.
Ooh.
Yeah, not too shabby. 24 years in business and a 22-time award winner.
All right. Well, you'll catch up.
Hopefully people will know who we are eventually.
All right, we're going to roll a couple of commercials here for Gwen M. Plano's books, and we're talking to Steve Scott, and we're going to hear some of his music here pretty soon too.
All right.
In an innocent 1958 American suburb, Shelley doesn't know the power of a kiss or how it will change her entire life. At 16 years old, she falls in love with a young man. One night, just one night, they go too far. Months later, pregnant and shamed, Shelley's parents banish her. Alone and heavily pregnant, circumstances force Shelley to cross the country in an old pickup. A mistaken turn leaves her lost in a forest amidst a severe snowstorm and in labor. In the dark of night, Shelley must get help for her newborn baby before they both perish. A light in the distance gives her the slimmest glimmer of hope. After Shelley wraps the infant in her father's old jacket, she trudges through the snow to a lighthouse keeper's cottage. Snowhouse buries the squat stone building. Will Shelley find shelter, or is it the beginning of the end? Read The Gift by Gwen M. Plano, published by Fresh Ink Group, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
Sarah Jameson, a nurse at County Central Hospital, survives an accident that kills her two young children. While comatose, she travels into the heavenly realm where she visits with her precious little ones. She is given a choice: return to her husband, Jack, or remain with her children in their celestial home. Jack was not in the fated automobile. Though he heard the crash and ran to help, there was nothing he could do. He suffers the loss of his children, fears the potential demise of his wife, and wonders about his own sanity. His struggle with PTSD from his military years has returned, and at times, he cannot distinguish between the present and the past. An accident tragically changed the lives of this young family, but out of sorrow emerges unexpected blessings. You'll be deeply moved by Gwen M. Plano's new novel, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano.
And guess what? We've got videos for both of those books, The Gift and The Soul Whisperer's Decision, over on YouTube. Get over there and don't forget to hit the like and subscribe buttons if you're not already subscribed. We are talking with Steve Scott from the Christian rock band The Word 66. And Steve, we're going to play one of your songs. I guess this, I'm understanding this is your latest, How Will I Know? Tell us what this song's about, how it came about.
So it's about a lonely guy wondering when God is going to send him his Eve, so to speak. It's actually a true story. It's something – I actually wrote this this song quite a few years ago. And when we got back into the studio, it was something that I really wanted to record. And when I say lonely, I don't mean like no friends or anything like that. I mean just like lonely as far as like having a special companion to share your life with. And I remember that I was in a long relationship and it had just ended. And then I remember that when I was going out several times and trying to meet, you know, somebody else. And I remember it wasn't easy to do, and it took quite a while for me to find somebody. And I remember going out one night and coming back home, and I was just kind of bummed. And I was sitting on the couch, and I picked up my guitar, and the song came out.
All right, cool. Okay, so we're going to play that then. How Will I Know by The Word 66.
Just a dream. The count goes on and on. Endless sea of faces. Expectations washed away. Oh, once again. Yeah. another trip to town. Are we feeling brave tonight? Among so many lost souls, I have a drink of three. Try to cover.
Now, who's the composer on that? Is that something the group wrote together, or is that your song, Steve?
Yeah, I usually write the lyrics and the music as well. And as mentioned, this was something that I had written a little ways back.
So what is your process when you want to write a song? Is it something just keeps niggling at you and you have to sit down and get the guitar out and figure out what that is, or do you go in with purpose? Do you start with the lyrics? Do you start with the music? What's your process?
When I'm writing music, it's basically when I'm just kind of practicing and messing around with my guitar. So usually I'll just hit like a little riff or something, and then I'll go like, oh, wow, that's really cool, you know? And I always find that I need to be in what I call writing mode in order to actually write a song. So I usually pull out my phone and then usually just put a little riff down, because if you try to remember it later on, it's not going to happen. So I always do a little riff. And then when I get in that writing mode, then I'll pull it out and just kind of mess with it and turn it into a song. And then usually what I do is I'll bring it to the guys and say, okay, here, this is what I got. And I kind of have an idea of how the other instruments should go, and I kind of just let the guys know, and then we just kind of mess around with it from there.
Well, what are the other instruments? What do all three of you play? Guitar?
So I'm the guitarist, drum. And Brian Torres is the vocalist and the bassist, and actually we have a different drummer now. We have Lance Crane is actually playing drums at this point in time.
Oh, okay. And now I heard some strings in there too. Sounded like maybe a cello. Is that was that a real thing, or is that synthesizer?
Yeah, that was. We brought this guy in. His name is Mert, and he's a really talented cello player. And we brought him in for the session to kind of just beef it up a little bit and make it a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, it added continuity and a smoothness that connected it. It was a very, very nice addition. That's pretty cool. Okay,
yeah,
we're talking
thanks.
To Steve Scott of the Christian rock band, The Word 66. We're going to play a couple of commercials here, and then we're going to talk to Steve some more and maybe hear some more music.
Yeah, I mean, before we play some more music, keep in mind that Blog Talk Radio is not the optimal place to be playing music. It's because sometimes you'll get a little a feedback type of thing. It is what it is, but we're out here to promote this band, so keep listening.
When guilt-ridden Mia checks into a suicide hotel but can't go through with a final act,
vengeful ghosts gather to torment her. Set in the near future, the post-war world is in turmoil. Mia Hawthorne suffers an emotional breakdown following the death of her wife and loses everything to a corrupt government. In an ironic twist of fate, the government suicide department, the Last Sanctuary, allocates a desperate and destitute Mia to the very hotel and family heirloom which she has so recently lost. On her first day at the Lighthouse Inn, beset with painful memories, doubts, and questions, Mia finds herself coming face to face with angry ghosts who gather to goad and torment her. Lost and alone, can Mia find enough strength and purpose to avoid her final, frightful fate? Read The Room at the End, Harbor Point Series Book 8 by best-selling author Harmony Kent, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
I'm David Carroll, and I'm proud of my recent books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, Volunteer Bama Dog, and Hello Chattanooga, famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Like many folks, I spend too much time on social media, but I put that time to good use. For years, I've been collecting social media misspellings, misinterpretations, and other mishaps, from tweets, text messages, even the signs you see at stores and on the highways. I've collected the funniest foul-ups in my latest book, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. I top them off with my own snarky comments, and they're illustrated by a talented artist, my friend Mike Salter. There are a lot of laugh-out-loud moments in the book, more than 400 of them. We all make mistakes, and sure, you can blame it on spell check, but maybe, just maybe, we didn't pay enough attention in English class. Either way, this book will bring a smile to your face or to the face of someone you love. We can all agree what the world needs now is laughter, and lots of it. I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats.
All right. That's a funny, funny book. Get a copy. If you like to laugh, get a copy. If you know people who like to laugh, buy them copies of this book. It's a funny, funny book. We got over here on Twitter, we've got Robert McKenzie. He's got a little bit of Pete Townsend Quadrophenia going on. Some lyrics here. I've got a Gibson without a case, but I can't get that even tanned look on my face. Ill-fitting clothes, and I blend in the crowd. Fingers so clumsy, voice too loud. But I am one, and I can see that this is me, and I will be, you will all see, I'm the one. Pete Townsend. Thanks for sharing those wise words of Peter Townsend with us, Robert. Okay. Here we go. So we're going to do another song here. This one, I believe, is a little harder rocking song. I dropped the volume back a little bit so we don't have so much of that distortion coming through. The Chosen One. Tell us what's this about, Steve, and when did this one come about?
Yeah, the last one was our mellow side. basically, this song is basically about Christ, really. It's I play in the video Savior, and I'm kind of just driving around and picking up people that are in need of salvation and sinners. And basically at the end of the song, we're just kind of walking into the desert, into nothing, and we kind of just disappear. Basically says that we've all been saved and we're on our way to the kingdom of God. So it's a positive message, of course, and it's a pretty cool track, man. We wrote this probably a couple of years ago.
All right, we are going to play The Chosen One by The Word 66.
Good.
All right. That is The Chosen One by The Word 66. Now, Steve, I'm kind of curious. Who are some of your influences, not just as the band, but your guitar playing? Who are some of the bands and the players that have influenced you?
Tony Iommi from Sabbath was probably my biggest influence. I was a huge Sabbath fan.
Yeah.
I've got all the records, and like I said, their music kind of used to freak me out because it was so intense. Used to love it. And I remember, like, as a little kid, just kind of sitting on my bed and kind of just bouncing up and down and listening to it. I was a big Priest fan as well, I would have to say. Those were probably my biggest influences musically and guitar-wise. Besides Iommi, you know, I'm also a really big, like, Steve Vai fan. Satriani, John Petrucci from
Dream Theater.
Yeah.
And also played with Chick Corea, acoustic band and electric band.
Yeah, some of my favorites. And speaking of Chick Corea, of course, like Al Di Meola was a big influence as well.
Hey, funny you should say that. I saw Al Di Meola live last night in Atlanta. And
really?
Yeah, and this is cool. The last two, I've seen him three times in the past year and a half now, and the last two times it was him sitting in a chair with his acoustic guitar, and he had a percussionist on one side and a drummer on the other. So when we went to Atlanta last night, that's the kind of show I was expecting to see. Instead, he had the Al Di Meola Electric Band up there doing early Return to Forever music. I melted.
Nice.
I melted.
So you said that percussion. Is Goombi still in the band?
Yep, that was him. Yep.
Nice.
Man.
Oh, man. What I was in there.
And this was at a winery where you're sitting there having dinner and the stage is just right there 5 feet from you, and they come out and just play for a couple hours. Wow. That's, what a cool show.
Yeah, he was texting me photos from stage side last night.
Yeah. Every time he'd turn, I'd get flop sweat on me, you know.
All right. We are talking with Steve Scott from The Word 66. And you still have time to call in if you have questions or comments, 516-453-9902 or over on X, hashtag Fresh Ink Group. You were going to say something, Steve?
Not me.
No.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so how about we knock out another track, Just to Show My Love. What is this one about, and what are we about to hear?
It's about gratitude and love for the Lord. So basically, it's about waking up in the morning, feeling good, having gratitude for all that you have, saying your prayers in the morning, saying your prayers for a blessed day as well. And then when you're about to go to sleep at night, it's about reminiscing your day and looking back and, again, having gratitude for what the day had brought.
All right. Just Show My Love. Just to Show My Love by The Word 66.
cool.
Yeah.
We're talking to Steve Scott, the composer, vocalist, and guitar player for the Christian rock band, The Word 66. Now, what's next, Steve? You've got a compilation record on the way?
No, actually, we put a new record out not too long ago. Those tracks that you have been playing are on that new record. It's called Rock and Roll Preaching. We do plan to get back in the studio shortly and do some more recording. We also plan to get out and do some tours as well a little bit later on, probably toward the fall. We are in the fall. I should say probably in the wintertime, we'll probably get out there and we'll do some short tours. We really want to get overseas. We seem to have a pretty good following, like in Brazil, the UK, and Germany. So we're hoping to get out there for a short time as well.
Hmm. Yeah, so I see on Spotify, you've got one of your tracks has got 172,000 streams. Which one is this?
That's the chosen one, the one you played prior.
Okay. Fantastic.
Great.
That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, so Steve, other than streaming on Spotify, how can people download, listen to, and preferably buy your music?
We're on all the major platforms. You know, you just mentioned Spotify, and of course we're on like Deezer and Amazon and Apple and Pandora. You can also check us out on YouTube as well. We also have videos for all the songs as well. You can also find us, of course, on all your socials, your Facebook and your Twitter and your Instagram. And
your social handles here real quick so everybody will know where to find you.
So in some places we're the word 66, and in other places that handle was taken, so we're actually the word SIXTYSIX.
Okay.
And actually on Twitter, we're T-Word 66.
All right,
okay.
T-Word 66.
And as always, at freshinkgroup.com, we have a contact form, so if any of you are looking for more information or want to send a note to Steve, we can pass it along as well.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great if I was saying it'd be great if you guys can if you can follow and comment and like and all that kind of stuff if you check us out as well.
Yeah. That always helps.
Stuff large bills into envelopes and mail them to the bands, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Show your love. All right.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. We've enjoyed having you on, Steve, and we're looking forward to new music coming out and maybe catching you on tour one of these days as well.
Yeah.
Steve Beam, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, cool. Now, listeners, many of you know that between Christmas and New Year's, we tried to do an end-of-year show, and Blog Talk Radio went down, and we could not do live shows that day. So next week, next Wednesday evening, we're going to do the end-of-year show. We're going to act like it's still, we're going to party like it's 1999, I guess. We're going to do all kinds of cool things. We're going to roll in. So we're going to make some announcements. We're going to take a few phone calls. There's just no telling what's going to happen. We want to encourage you. Come on back next week and hang out. No guests, just your two hosts acting foolish and seeing what we can get away with. And what do we got after that, Beam?
And after that, we've got the aforementioned earlier read his tweet from Robert McKenzie. He's going to be on. He's going to be talking about his latest volume of The Chair and cool stories. Robert is always a blast to have on. He's got a ton of old stories and just he's lived an interesting life. So tune in for that. And after that,
we've got a couple of comic bookers. Wells Thompson and Dalton Shannon are going to be in here talking about their craft of creating and publishing comic books, which I hear are starting to catch on.
Yeah, and I'm busy behind the scenes booking other people, reaching out. We've got another group of musicians that we're reaching out to, so keep your eyes and ears open and get on board with that newsletter so you'll know who's here from week to week.
Yeah, we even managed to get a plug-in for Al Di Meola tonight. So if you're jazz fans or Di Meola fans, get out there and catch him too. But, hey, music fans, as of, I think it's one of the days this week, is the 100th anniversary of the debut of a piano concerto that broke new ground because it was jazz.
Yeah.
Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin is 100 years old this week. And all of the symphony orchestras over the next couple of months or so are performing that. So if you've got a symphony in your area and you like Gershwin in Blue, jump on some tickets because this is the year to catch it. So thanks again, Steve. We enjoyed having you on.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see everybody next time.
We will see everybody next week.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
With good jobs so hard to find, especially in rapidly expanding Florida, owning your own food truck could be the best option. It's the least expensive startup, and you can be fully operational in mere months. The rules and regulations can be a bit complex, and no single source has offered all the answers. Until now. How to start and run your own food truck business in Florida by food truck veteran A.K. Wingler is the step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Sure, it's hard work, but exciting, mobile, flexible, and highly profitable. And you get to be your own boss and set your own hours. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this book tells you how and where to make money in this exploding independent industry. Grab your copy in laminated hardcover, glossy softcover, or any of the major ebook formats at retailers worldwide. Even if you're just curious for now, this guide is the best way to discover if a food truck business is right for you.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.